Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly DFS Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solley. I'm a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolley. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, PFW contributor, and Northwest Herald sports editor, Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how'd last week go for you over on FanDuel?
You know what? I can't complain too much. One of the nice things about the Indianapolis Colts, particularly with T.Y. Hilton, is you can kind of see when those big weeks are coming. He's had four so far this year, and I think I've been on him all 4 weeks, and it's the only time I've played him. So T.Y. Hilton and I are good friends. I can't say that about most of fantasy football, but there's one thing I feel good about after last week. How about you? How'd things go around DraftKings?
You know, I'm with you on T.Y. His matchups have been so incredibly transparent that we kind of know when to be on and when to be off of him. He smashes it against really bad defenses, and against good defenses, he gets locked up. So I hope a lot of people are going to play T.Y. Hilton this week.
Yeah, I'm guessing with the recency bias that people are going to play him way more than they should. But you know what? What's great is like it's not like his reached value in the game where we thought he could go off. Like he's just smashed every time. It's been entertaining.
It really has, and he was rocketing up the leaderboards last week. And let's move on to this week, though, and really minutes before we started taping this podcast, some news broke. Unlike last week when, as soon as our podcast had ended, Deshaun Watson tore his ACL, which really threw a lot of the information we gave you out of whack. But this time, the Second Circuit has ruled. Zeke Elliott's motion for an injunction was denied, so unless there's some sort of miracle, the suspension for Zeke Elliott is officially on.
Yeah, which is a shame because I had a lot of interest in him this weekend.
I did too, but no longer, and the total for that game is already falling, by the way. It was at 50.5, and you can now get it at 49.5 in some places.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to continue to fall from there. You know me, I've been hating on the Atlanta offense for a while, and I wasn't sure that game was going to get to 50, even if Zeke was playing.
Man, that was my one complaint about last week. I ended up with a lot of Julio Jones, and that he had a good day, but that drop of that wide open ball, that was the difference between a great day for me and an average day on DK.
Yeah, I've been avoiding Julio Jones, and with the Bears on a bye week last week, I actually didn't watch a lot of football. It's like one of the rare times I get to set a lineup and walk away. So I got home early that evening and started looking through the box scores from the early games, and then caught a clip of Julio Jones' drop, and I was like, oh boy,
yeah, that was ugly. But we're a forward thinking podcast. Let's move on to this week. There's a couple of games that I'm really interested in this week, Kyle, and they involve bad teams that you don't normally want to target in DFS or in fantasy football, but I think there's some sneaky shootouts in two games specifically, and I want to get your take on both of them. First is the Jets and Tampa Bay. It opened up at like 41 as the over-under, and now it's zooming up to 43.5. So I think the over has gotten bet pretty hard on that one. And the other is the Giants in San Francisco, which the over-under is only at 42. These are games we don't normally target, but I want to hear your take on both these games because I think there's a lot of fantasy goodness in these two.
All right, well, let's start with the Jets and Bucks, which it was funny. Habarkish was in the office yesterday. I walked over to him, and I go, so are you excited for the Josh McCown versus Ryan Fitzpatrick matchup? And he just kind of chuckled. But that's where we are in this NFL season. And oddly enough, yeah, it's one of the more intriguing games from a fantasy perspective this week. Jameis Winston out, Mike Evans out, so you kind of know where the fantasy production is going to come from. And both of these defenses stink. The Bucs even more so than the Jets, which I wouldn't have guessed coming into the year. But you know, here we are, Week 10. I think we have a large enough sample size now. So yeah, I've looked at both of the quarterbacks pretty heavily and the wide receivers, and I'm always a big fan of Cameron Brate. And in that second game, I don't have as much interest in it. I'm not really going to trust Eli too much in the Giants receiving core. Now, I will continue to pay for Evan Ingram because it's just a solid 15 points every week. Outside of that, though, I don't know if there's a lot I'm really interested. I take it that you have some interest in maybe, I'm guessing, the running backs in this game?
Let's go back to the Jets and Tampa. I really like that game because I think these are like you said, two really bad defenses, and there's a lot of value that's been created by suspension and injury. Fitzpatrick, I think, is in a good spot, although I'm not going to have as much. I'm going to be low. I'm going to be underweight compared to the field on Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it's only because Fitzpatrick loves to throw interceptions. He averages, I believe, one a game in his starts. And the Jets, if they do nothing else, they do intercept the ball decently. So that's the one reason I'm not loving him. But I do like Josh McCown this week. Ignoring the revenge narrative, Josh McCown has been viable in DFS for majority of the season, and certainly over the last month, he's gotten you no fewer than 17 points on DraftKings. He had 25 against New England, 25 against Miami, and is in a matchup against the Bucs team that has really just kind of given up. So stacking McCown with Robbie Anderson, who has really come on lately, and then with the suspension to Jermaine Kearse with the Jets, you got to figure a couple more targets are going to go to Anderson's way. He's had double-digit points in his last four games, and the targets are there, and they're deep targets, and Tampa Bay's secondary is giving up huge plays deep. So I think Robbie Anderson is a guy that I'll be stacking with. I'm probably going to avoid Austin Seferian Jenkins in this game. The Bucks, if they do stop any position well, it's the tight ends.
And on the other side of the ball, go ahead and give us your love for DeSean Jackson again.
Yeah, I mean, it's on brand. So DeSean Jackson always in play. With Mike Evans suspended, Jackson becomes the number one wide receiver. He's always a deep threat against a Jets defense that struggles to defend deep threats. In cash games, Adam Humphries is a guy that I think you have to look at DraftKings. He's $100 over the minimum. He's at $3,100. He's going to be in the slot. His targets are guaranteed. I expect 7 to 8 targets to Adam Humphries this game. So, for a guy for $3,100, I think in cash games you have to consider that.
So here's the thing. I filled in for you, Ryan, the DFS column for Pro Football Weekly this week, and I recommended that. Josh McCown as a mid-tier play. And I think he's a solid play. I'm really going to have to make a decision on this game by Sunday morning, because with the over-under creeping up, and I think that we're far from the only people that are looking at this game as a potential shootout. If the ownership of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh McCown and the rest of these guys in this game are going to be higher than they should be, I think I'm just going to go ahead and fade it, though. Like if
just an all-out fade of this game?
Yeah, like if let's say Fitzpatrick's approaching like 10% ownership and McCown's like 15, Robbie Anderson I expect to be probably 20 to 25% owned. Like if I start really getting that feeling that that's where those guys are going to fall, I'm probably just going to fade it and go ahead and say, well, Josh McCown and Ryan Fitzpatrick suck at football. I'm going to go ahead and take the chance that this is going to be the week that they go ahead and go back to sucking at football, particularly Josh McCown, and just let people fall for that trap at that high of an ownership.
I mean, I could certainly, in tournaments, I certainly understand the fading a game that, you know, right now is at a 43 over under with two bad teams. Like I get the fade for that. I think there's going to be plenty of fantasy goodness. The game that I'm more excited about is that Giants San Francisco game. I'm with you on Evan Ingram. He's a great play every week. I don't care that his price is up. I don't really care about ownership. I don't care that the Niners are number one DVOA against tight ends. The Giants don't use Evan Ingram like a tight end.
Yeah.
He is, they split him out. They, if you saw that touchdown catch, that looked like a spectacular wide receiver catch. I have no issues with Evan Ingram in this game. The reason I'm most excited about this game is pace of play. The 49ers and the Giants are both in the top six in the NFL in pace of play, which means there are more plays and more volume available. The 49ers throw the ball more than any other team in the NFL. The Giants, I believe, are top five in terms of passing play percentage. And both of these defenses are absolutely terrible. The Niners are 31st in points allowed, and I believe the Giants are 29th. So there's a lot of opportunity in this game, and I think we can predict pretty well where it's going to go on both sides. On the Giants, Evan Ingram is obviously a guy there. Sterling Shepard is only $5,500 on DraftKings. He's the number one wide receiver in this offense. The 49ers are hemorrhaging defensive backs. Tart and Ward both broke their forearms, so they're both out this week. it's got to be Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram on the passing side for the Giants. And on the running side, Orleans Darkwa, look, he doesn't see a ton of snaps, but when he's in, he gets the ball. He's a guy that's going to get a couple targets and is going to get, I would think, 18 carries. I think you're going to see 20 touches from Orleans Darkwa in this game, and he's only 4,500 on DraftKings. On the San Francisco side, Carlos Hyde, here's his targets the past three games, 11, 9, and 8. At a full-point PPR site like DraftKings, Hyde's 6,300. He's game flow independent and a guy that I think you need to consider in both cash and tournaments because the Giants are also one of the worst DVOA teams against the run. On the passing side on the Giants, Marquise Goodwin and Aldrick Robinson are guys you have to consider. I think they're both going to get about 8 targets, and they're both under 4K. I don't love – I've seen some people talking of Garrett Celek this week as a minimum price tight end. He's not a guy that is known for catching the ball at all. He has one reception each in the past 5 games. So I even though he's minimum price, I'm probably staying away from him. But everybody else I listed, I think, is certainly viable. And, you know, when it comes down to quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Eli Manning are $200 apart. If all the ownership's going to go to Fitzpatrick, I may just play Eli and try and stomach it.
I'll tell you what, I have interest in the other side of that matchup, actually. Quarterback. I'll consider Beathard, particularly because, I think he's going to be considerably less owned than a guy like Eli Manning or Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's running the ball. And with the pace of play. And listen, we just watched the New York Giants get absolutely shredded at home last weekend.
They've given up. The Giants have given up.
Yeah. So, obviously, yeah, there's risk with CJ Beathard, but, at that price, if he can get you on FanDuel, if he get you back into that 18-point range where he was last week, and I realize he had a rushing touchdown, but he's also had 14, 30, 40, and 16 rushing yards here, so he's actually moving the ball a little bit on the ground. I think that he has a 20-point upside.
Do you think that if the Giants get up early that they would go to Garoppolo? That's the only thing that's stopping me with Beathard.
No, I don't think that they want to. I don't really see a reason for them to throw him into a lost season right away.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to roster construction. I want to talk to you about that this week. When you're approaching tournaments this week, in general, what are you looking to do with roster construction? There's some high-priced guys that I want to get to. But I don't know if I want to play all of them in the same lineup or as many of them as I can in the same lineup. I may want to do a little bit more balanced approach, but I want to get your take on roster construction this week.
Yeah, I'm kind of going the way of a balanced lineup. I think I'll probably end up paying up at one of the running back spots, but I might not even do that. Like I like Todd Gurley, even against Houston. His floor is too high, and his potential is just outside of Le'Veon Bell. No one else can touch his ceiling, and I think actually Bell and Gurley, obviously Bell in a matchup with Indianapolis is right up there.
Smash spot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to go fairly balanced. The one thing that will change it is if I end up deciding to go with Evan Engram again, going up and paying that high at tight end. And I've actually even considered going even higher to Rob Gronkowski, who's destroyed the Denver Broncos in the past, and the Broncos continue to be pretty bad at defending tight ends, which I realize this is only FanDuel there since it's a Sunday night game.
But I have to play him on FanDuel this week.
Yeah. I think a lot of my lineup construction is going to start at tight end, actually.
Okay. Yeah, not a week where you don't see that often, where you're starting at tight end. Normally it's a high-priced running back. Maybe there's a wide receiver you feel like you have to get in. You don't normally start a week at tight end, which is why I wanted to get your take on roster construction. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's actually the second week in a row this has happened because I at least on FanDuel, I felt like the pricing has been loose enough that I've been able to find guys at different tiers. The question has always been for me is which guy do I feel like can have 20-point upside at tight end? And I think that's kind of the way I'm going again this week is I'm just looking for the best tight end I can find that has 20-point upside, regardless of price, and then building out from there.
Yeah, definitely. I think it may be a two tight end week on DraftKings. I think you could do it if you go Engram and Brait. I think that's a pretty solid way to start.
Yeah, I think this is happening this way because of all the changes we've seen at quarterback lately, that there's been so much value at that position that it's really allowing you to do some different things.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, let's move on to some of our favorite plays then, Kyle. Who are the quarterbacks that you've got your eye on over on FanDuel?
Well, it's kind of a weird week. I don't mind. I won't tell anyone not to pay up for Dak. He's the top price guy on FanDuel at this point. But he's just been so consistent outside of that downpour in Washington. Higher price guys, Matt Stafford. It's so insane to see Jared Goff as one of the top price QBs. But given the matchup against Houston's hollowed out defense, I can't really blame anyone that wants to go right back to that well. And outside of that, like we said, we've talked about McCown, we've talked about the real value guys. Is there anyone that's kind of sticking out to you? Maybe Tyrod Taylor at home?
I feel like I'm a week late on Tyrod.
Me too. I feel like I'm chasing points there against a defense that continues to play well.
Yeah, absolutely. A site that I follow called Number Fire. One of their writers, Brandon, and I'm going to butcher his name, Gadula, I think, put up an interesting stat. It is an obvious small sample size, and those are the first words, small sample here. But Ben Roethlisberger has basically been his best in domes, is what Brandon tweets, and he's got a stat sheet here. Ben Roethlisberger in his career in a dome, it's only 16 games. So Ben Roethlisberger's been in the league for, 30 to 40 years, roughly. So it's only 16 games and 450 attempts, as opposed to outdoors where the sample size is more than 5,700 attempts. But his completion percentage when he's in a dome, 66%. TD percentage, 5.3%. Yards per attempt, 9.14. Which his yards per attempt at home is 8.15, his yards per attempt on the road, 7.61. So it's a small sample size, but the matchup is good. And it's really one of the more fascinating stats I've seen this week, that Roethlisberger, yes, he's on the road, but inside a dome, he's actually been really good. So I like Bell, I like Brown, I like Juju Smith-Schuster this week. By that logic, Ben Roethlisberger comes with, right?
Yeah, I guess I can see that. It's hard to want to play a guy that has openly admitted that he might not have it anymore.
Yeah, there's risk to it.
He's coming off a game where he just was in a dome, though, and he went 17 for 31.
True.
I don't know. I think I'm going to let people chase those points. And
it's 17 for 31, but 300 yards, which on DraftKings gets you a bonus.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm avoiding Ben for the rest of the year, unless I see some kind of trend where, I'm not just the completion percentage has been awful all year. You know what I'm saying? I don't think just because he's had cupcake matchups already and hasn't been able to do anything. I'm not just going to start praying that he's going to find it all of a sudden here.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little exposure to him, and it'll be a Steelers onslaught type lineup where it'll be Ben, Brown, and Bell. I'm going to go for all three of the Bs. Ooh, there.
I mean, that lineup has won big tournaments in the past.
Yeah, so why not fire it up? I'm with you on Stafford and Goff. Totally, Stafford is in a great matchup. It's weird to see Stafford and Goff as two of the higher priced quarterbacks, but here we are. Going down low, I've mentioned Manning as a guy that I'm interested. Fitzpatrick I'll be underweight on, but I don't hate that matchup. That's really it. Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton, these are guys I'm gonna straight up avoid this week. I have no interest whatsoever.
Okay, yeah, I think we're about on the same page.
Yeah. All right. How about running back? Obviously, Le'Veon Bell. But after that, you mentioned Gurley. After that, who are some other guys?
Gurley, Bell, obviously top two on FanDuel, and they're priced like it at 96 and 94, respectively. Obviously, wipe Zeke out after that, even though he's listed on here. Leonard Fournette, I think, is a guy that I'm interested to see what the ownership is like after he was suspended last weekend. He's going to get the usage that he usually does coming back in here. So I'll have some interest in him. I think my favorite play is on the other side of the ball, though. You know I love Melvin Gordon. I think this is another smash spot for him. He's just got way too high of a usage rate in this offense. Let's see.
And the Chargers play everybody close.
Yes.
They don't get blown out.
Yeah. I think they're smart enough to know that they're not going to be able to pass the ball against this secondary. Although, did Jalen Ramsey get suspended for that fight?
Don't believe so.
Okay. Him and AJ Green both didn't get suspended, right? Now that I think about it, which is kind of
Green got a $42,000 fine.
I mean, he can lose all the money he wants as long as he's on the field this week. That's all I care about. outside of that, you know, then start dropping down in price. There's some value guys that I like. Jordan Howard.
Yes.
There's not many times the Bears are going to be a favorite this year against the defense that is not good against the run. I think my favorite guy under 7,000 on FanDuel, though, is Jerick McKinnon. I mean, he's got four starts, and he's been a top five scorer in three of them. And the Washington defense, it's regressing quickly, particularly against the run. They've been getting gashed, and I think it's going to continue this week. And I love the amount of work Jerick McKinnon gets in the passing game.
Yep. I'm all over those guys. I mean, Howard at 6,100, Hyde at 6,300, McKinnon 6,600. Those three guys I've definitely got my eye on over at DraftKings. But what do you think about LeSean McCoy this week and potentially a low-owned spot? I think people are going to try to get up to Bell. You know, Gurley and Fournette are in fantastic matchups and guys that I think are going to be popular. But McCoy burned everybody, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And now gets the Saints at home, and the Saints have been great against the pass, but they're starting to become a bit of a run funnel defense.
Yeah. And look at LeSean McCoy's history at home in Buffalo compared to on the road. I think this sets up really well for him. I like running backs on both sides of this game, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Ingram and Kamara are great plays in this one too.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to chase Kamara. I think he's a solid play. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has another big week. I just think the ownership is going to be huge on him given what happened last week. So he's still in a timeshare with Mark Ingram. So I'm going to go ahead and fade him and hope he doesn't burn me like he did last week. Although, do you remember when we recorded this last week? I was saying one of my favorite sacks was Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Ted Ginn. And wish I would have stuck with that gun.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. Yeah, I think I'm probably going to go up to Ingram over Kamara just based on ownership.
Yeah.
Whichever guy has the better week, I'm going to play the other one the next week.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad strategy. But overall, Melvin Gordon is my top play, and I think my second one is Jerick McKinnon. Those are my top two guys that I'm going to be targeting.
Okay. Yeah, I think Howard is definitely up there with me. I think Carlos Hyde is probably number two on there, but McKinnon is definitely a guy that I'm going to try to be overweight on. Really the only guy I'm going to pay down for this week is Darkwa. I've heard some Joe Mixon chatter.
No. Okay. Please don't do that to yourselves. The Cincinnati offensive line is horrendous. No, I don't care. If the Tennessee defense is bad, just don't do it.
All right, well, let's move on to wide receiver then, Kyle, for some of the top guys you're looking at there.
I'm going to go right back to that game. Give me all of the A.J. Green, all of it.
Yep.
I don't care what the ownership is. He's going to go nuts in this game.
Dude, A.J. Green just spent the last few days being told he was incredibly soft.
Yes.
You think that doesn't motivate a guy? Like, I don't like playing the narrative street thing, but... boy, I don't know how you don't. And I've loved picking on the Tennessee secondary for the past couple of years. Nothing's going to change now.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be way overweight on him. Let people go up to Antonio Brown. I have no problem with that play. Antonio Brown's fantastic. But when it comes to when everything is said and done, AJ Green is going to be the number one receiver of the week.
I don't hate that.
I don't know. What else are you looking at? I really like Golden Tate in this matchup.
Yes. Golden Tate is the, if I'm playing Stafford, the first guy I'm going to is Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Not Marvin Jones. Cause I think Marvin Jones is going to see a lot of Jason McCourty this week.
Yeah, I know Marvin Jones has been hot as of late, but we've seen these streaks from Marvin Jones before. I'm taking the reliability of Golden Tate because, you know, sometimes you get these, you know, the ceiling play versus the safe play. I don't really think that's the case here because Golden Tate can and has shown just as high as a ceiling as Marvin Jones, while Marvin Jones has shown a much, much lower floor.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. Two other guys I want to throw out in addition to guys I've already mentioned. Mohamed Sanu, if Julio Jones is hurt or even out there potentially in a decoy situation, Sanu is in a good spot in the slot against Dallas. So that's the area you want to target. And then Corey Davis from Tennessee. He is only 4K on DraftKings. Came back from injury last week, got 5 targets, but played on, I believe, 75% of the snaps. And now gets a Cincinnati secondary that I think people still don't really want to target, but Adam Jones and Drake Kirkpatrick have been miserable this year. They're two of the lower graded defensive backs in the league. So I'm not afraid to fire up Corey Davis, especially at 4K this week.
And I'm probably going to have a lot of Sammy Watkins, too. I know he only saw 2 targets last week and he only had 1 reception, but it was a 67-yard touchdown. And the Houston secondary is just begging to be beat deep on every possible play. I mean, we saw T.Y. Hilton do it twice last week. We saw we saw Seattle do it time and time again the week before against Houston. Yes, please, with Sammy Watkins.
I think you can make a case for any of the Rams wide receivers. Which makes it hard because Robert Woods had a better game than Watkins and continues to get more targets. Cooper Kupp has more targets in the red zone, but Watkins is a guy that all he needs, as he proved last week, he just needs one. Yep. And he can have a great day. So I like all of them. I think you can make a case for any one of them as kind of like your last guy that you're trying to fit in. And if you have, you know, if you only have 4,600, you go Cooper Kupp. If you only have 4,800, it's Watkins. If you have 5,000, you go to Woods. I think you can fit all of them in.
Do you have any interest in DeAndre Hopkins?
Is Tom Savage still the quarterback?
Yeah, but we saw last week what happens when Tom Savage is a quarterback, which is just funnel the targets to DeAndre Hopkins. I think I've read since in games that Tom Savage has played, DeAndre Hopkins had that like something like 37% of the team's targets.
Yeah.
I mean, he ended up being 3% owned in tournaments last week and still, because he was the highest price guy because it was, everything was taken into account before the Deshaun Watson injury. But yeah, he still ended up 686 and a touchdown.
Yeah, you're going to get them at lower percentage because people, you know, like me, are going to have that reflexive response of, well, Tom Savage is still his quarterback, and so I want no part of it. But I think you could get Hopkins pretty low owned again, but for a guy that's going to get at least 10 targets.
Yeah, I think people are going to be scared of this Rams defense as well. And it's a solid unit, but I don't know if it's enough to scare me away.
Yeah, that's you may be talking me into that. All right, well let's close out with tight end. We know we've mentioned Engram and Brait. Any other guys you're really looking at this week at tight end? And Gronk, obviously.
Honestly, no. I think I'm kind of set on those three guys. I haven't seen an update. Is Jordan Reed going to play?
I've not seen an update on that. I mean, he took part in practice, but he was limited.
Okay, if Jordan Reed is not going to play, and if Vernon Davis is, which I mean, it sounds like a bruised hand. I mean, I have interest in Vernon Davis. They just use him too much, and I think they're going to be behind in that game. So I don't have I won't have huge interest there, but I can see a reason to go there. Outside of that, I don't have a lot of interest in anyone else.
Yeah, Tyler Kroft, maybe.
Yeah.
Hunter Henry, possibly. I would love to play Hunter Henry most weeks, but just when you think the Chargers have figured out that Hunter Henry is good at football and you should be running a fair amount of your offense through him, then he goes out and gets like 2 targets.
Yeah, they pull the rug right out from under you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge Hunter Henry guy, but I'd rather just stick with Melvin Gordon and not deal with the Chargers passing game going across country to face Jacksonville. I mean, I know they're going to funnel stuff over the middle, but I just don't want to deal with it.
I don't hate Kyle Rudolph this week either.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to do something a little bit different, get away from what I think is going to be chalk. Redskins are terrible against tight ends, and Rudolph has a secure target floor of 7, I believe.
Thinking of tight ends against Washington, I'm really, really happy I avoided the Jimmy Graham trap.
He did okay. It wasn't great, but all right, Kyle, anything else you want to add about this week?
No, I look forward to waking up Sunday morning to find Leonard Fournette or someone else has been suspended for a game. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, you know what? Play the Bears defense this week. They're too cheap on DraftKings. They're only 3K.
Sure. Ew. But yes, I understand it. Brett Hundley's bad. Which is a shame that we found that out so quickly, because I was enjoying watching people try and jam him into lineups because he was valuable.
Yeah.
I like it when people light money on fire.
All right, we will end the show with that. For Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Salah. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.